Spirit. After saying this, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." It happened that one of the 12, Thomas, nicknamed Didymus, or the twin, was absent when Jesus came. The other disciples kept telling him, "We've seen Jesus." Thomas' answer was, "I'll never believe it without putting my finger in the nail marks and my hand in the spear wound." On the eighth day, the disciples were once more in the room, and this time Thomas was with them. Despite the locked doors, Jesus came and stood before them, saying, "Peace be with you." Then to Thomas, Jesus said, "Take your finger and examine my hands. Put your hand in my side. Don't persist in your unbelief, but believe." Thomas said in response, "My Savior and my God." This is a story from our Holy Scriptures.
As we continue into this season of Easter, we encounter another story of the days that followed the resurrection of Christ and the effect this event had on Jesus' early followers as they banded together after those days to create what we now call the church. I found myself thinking this week about why I find the Bible and these stories so compelling. It's not just because they affirm my belief in God and my commitment to follow Jesus, although these are extremely important to me. It's also because they still, after 2,000 years, speak to my life and what I am experiencing today. They tell me something about who I am and what I experience and who I want to be. And they inspire me to explore life in ways that give me a greater understanding of God, of human nature, and of the world. This story of the disciples and Thomas has been one of the most enlightening for me through the years, partly because I have always considered doubt one of my greatest tools in my life and faith toolbox. Without doubt, we will not question. And without questioning, we will not grow. Thomas, finding himself unable to believe what his friends were telling him, sought to know the truth for himself. He wanted more. He wanted proof of his own that would cement his belief and understanding. He wanted to know within himself the reality that others had experienced with Jesus. And eventually his seeking and his waiting paid off. Somehow his faith was renewed and he was restored. And while we cannot always get the answers we seek, it is in the seeking itself that we find other truths, other information, other comfort and understanding. "Seek, seek, and you will find," Jesus said. I feel this great affinity with Thomas in his doubt and his need to know and his need to understand, this need to question. But this week I found myself in a place where I was experiencing this story differently than I ever have before and found another deeper connection with Thomas. I have been reflecting on and reading a lot about grief these past few weeks. There are so many people in both of our communities of faith who are struggling with loss and grief these days. There are others who are struggling with the grief of a world that is not the way they would want it to be. So this is what I want to touch a bit on today, and I will come back to it later this spring as we begin to anticipate saying our goodbyes. What is grief? Grief is the emotional and mental and physical response that we have to the loss of someone or sometimes something that is of great significance in our lives. We grieve because of our love and our attachment to that someone or something. Without love, without a deep attachment, we do not have the same response to the loss of someone who is important in our lives. Grief comes into our life when we lose something that we think should be permanent, or we want desperately to stay alive, to stay in our lives, even as we know that this is not the way that life works. Grief is that uncomfortable, often painful, emotional, and visceral response to loss. And it is one of the most universal of all human experiences. All people on earth will experience loss, and therefore they will grieve. Yet, and this is the point I want to make today in the story of Thomas, we do not all grieve in the same way. The disciples were, of course, distraught at the death of Jesus. So it is, even after his resurrection, before they know, that we find them huddled in a room together, partly out of fear, but also because to seek comfort and strength, we need to be in others' presence. They would gather together to tell stories, express their anger, their fear, their despair, ask those how and why questions that we always ask, and of course, to weep together, to be together. Gathering together is a common way that we mourn loss and process it. I often say to families when they lose someone special in their family, You don't have to do something formal or expensive to acknowledge the loss of a loved one. It is, however, important that we have some sort of acknowledgement and be together at some point following the loss of someone we love. It's necessary for the grief process. We tell and solidify important stories that we carry in our hearts. We care for and comfort each other. We speak of loss and recognize the importance of what we have lost. Mourning is always done with others in community. I hope that nobody here will ever say, "I don't want anything after I go," because it's important for those who are left to have something. One of the worst parts of COVID I found was our inability to gather for significant life events, particularly the losses that we had in our lives. So this is what the disciples did after Jesus' death, just as the women did at the tomb. They gathered together. We need each other, and we need others around us who love us, who can comfort us and help us make sense of our loss. This, though, is where I found an affinity with Thomas. It's not the only way to grieve, because there really is no right way to grieve. While the women and the disciples gathered to be with one another, Thomas, it appears, is not with them. Thomas has gone off on his own. He is not with the disciples to process what they have experienced. Thomas reminds us that for some, being alone for a while is necessary. This is my way of grieving, maybe some of you. They need time to make sense of what's going on. Some need company, some need space. Some need to weep with others, and some need to weep alone. And most of us need both. They're all valid ways to deal with their pain and our loss. When Thomas was ready, however, he came back to the group and heard their story of seeing Jesus. And when he couldn't quite believe it, he waited. And in time, He got what he needed. He encountered Jesus in a way that made sense to him. Just as we need to encounter life after loss in a way that makes sense to us. We grieve in our own ways and in our own time. It can't be forced. Just because we have in mind how we grieve and how maybe others should do it, we do not need to force our ways of doing grief on anybody else. At the end of this story, Jesus meets Thomas and invites him into an intimate encounter that resulted for Thomas in understanding and resolution. My Savior and my God, he says. And Jesus invites him to come to him in a way that works for Thomas. As with Thomas, no matter how we choose to respond to our losses, Jesus will meet us there and invite us in to be closer. Moving through our times of grief, whether we choose to take some space or choose to be around others, we can know that God is waiting and willing to meet us in that place where we are. Life is difficult and unpredictable. We all experience things we wish we didn't have to. One of the things that over these past months I have come to understand and am slowly accepting is that nothing on earth is permanent. Nothing. Nothing lasts forever. Loss and grief are part of being human. We fear loss because we so desperately want the things that we love to stay forever. And that's not the way it works. We know that we can lose something important to us at any time. It reminds us to treasure what we have when we have it. Jesus did die. God didn't stop that from happening. Those who loved him experienced tremendous grief. Loving people is not enough to keep them here. Thankfully, though, that was not the end of the story. That is why Easter is so central to our faith. Because death, we believe, is not the last word. Our lives cannot end because of the losses we experience. Because Jesus always shows up, perhaps in unexpected ways, as he did with his followers. After his resurrection, he came back to breathe life into those who had experienced that deep loss. Those people who were so bereft and broken received God's life-giving breath. Jesus will show up for us too, in our loss and grief. He never wants us to be alone in our suffering. He comes in people who gather around us, who love us. He comes in our solitude. He comes in our doubt and our need for answers. He comes in small signs of life and in ways we could not expect, ways that bring us some comfort and strength and hope. There is always life, even as we also know that there is always death and loss. Through our grief, we can find new ways forward, new ways to understand life, its unpredictability, and its impermanence. We gain a new understanding and compassion for others when we grieve. We may be broken, but we are never alone. For as one of our beloved creeds in the United Church reminds us, in life, in death, in life beyond death, we are not alone. God is with us. Thanks be to God. Let's take a moment for reflection.